Ever wondered why some businesses have people lining up to buy their products while others struggle to find customers? From restaurants with queues around the block to consultants booked months in advance, these oversubscribed businesses don't chase clients, clients chase them. Daniel Priestley knows this phenomenon intimately. Starting with just a $7,000 credit card at age 21, he built multiple million-dollar businesses by creating extraordinary demand. His book, Oversubscribed, has become a cult favorite among entrepreneurs seeking to escape the endless hustle for new clients. Even Richard Branson keeps a copy on his bookshelf, and the methodology has been adopted by thousands of businesses worldwide. What makes this approach so powerful is that it works in any industry, from luxury watches to yoga studios, and during any economic condition, even recessions. The principles allow genuine entrepreneurs who care deeply about their offerings to do their best work while building distinctive brands that stand the test of time. The fundamental economic truth behind business success is surprisingly simple. Markets go up when there are more buyers than sellers. This basic principle of supply and demand determines prices across all industries and explains why some businesses thrive while others barely survive. Consider a coffee shop with a line out the door versus one that sits empty. The busy shop can charge prices that include healthy profit margins, while the empty one must discount just to minimize losses. The market naturally resists profit unless demand exceeds supply. It's an economic law as reliable as gravity. This explains Uber's pricing strategy. Despite billions in revenue, they struggle with profitability because they've created a pure market where supply can always increase to meet demand through their driver recruitment system. When demand spikes, their surge pricing kicks in, a perfect illustration of how profits emerge only when buyers outnumber sellers. There are three fundamental demand-supply relationships that determine business rewards. Oversubscribed, demand exceeds supply, creating profit on top of wages. Balanced, demand equals supply, allowing only normal wages. And undersubscribed, excess supply creates losses. This relationship determines profitability regardless of product quality, location, or team dedication. California's plastic surgery industry in the 1980s demonstrates this perfectly. When demand vastly exceeded the supply of qualified surgeons, practitioners made fortunes. By the late 1990s, as more surgeons entered the market, earnings normalized to standard wages despite the same skill levels. The market had balanced. While economic cycles create temporary booms, truly successful businesses don't leave profitability to chance. Instead, they create their own markets where they control supply and demand forces, becoming oversubscribed on their own terms, even in saturated markets with fierce competition. Being part of an open market subjects you to uncontrollable forces of supply and demand. The key to becoming oversubscribed is creating your own market, where you set the rules and cultivate a loyal tribe that follows you, not your industry. The U.S. acting industry perfectly illustrates this concept. With over 160,000 Screen Actors Guild members competing for limited roles, 99% can't live on their acting income. Yet stars like George Clooney and Jennifer Lawrence command millions per film because they've created their own markets, millions of loyal fans who will see a film specifically because these actors appear in it. Their value comes not just from acting skill, but from their unique ability to mobilize talent, publicity, and funding. Similarly, Kylie Jenner became the youngest billionaire selling cosmetics in a saturated industry because she had 120 million Instagram followers who eagerly bought whatever she featured. Her market wasn't the cosmetics industry, it was her followers. You don't need a massive market to succeed. Rich Litvin discovered it was far easier to find 8 perfect clients paying $80,000 plus annually than 800 paying $800, with dramatically lower overhead. He built his exclusive practice by writing a book, creating content videos, speaking at leadership events, and crucially, saying no to most potential clients. When expanding his business, he carefully crafted a group coaching program called 4PC, limiting membership to just 60 people despite having 1,000-plus interested prospects. This exclusivity generated over $1 million in sales. The marketplace says life coaches should earn $3,250 an hour, not $640,000 a year. But the market's job is to eradicate profit, not maximize it. You don't need everyone, just more people than you can handle. Being famous simply means people you've never met have an emotional connection with you. While traditional fame required TV or radio, today anyone can build this connection through content creation. The human brain forms connections based on three key ingredients: time, 7-plus hours move someone from acquaintance to friend; interactions, 11-plus interactions build trust; and locations, seeing someone in 4-plus different contexts. This 7-11-4 formula explains why people feel connected to celebrities they've never met. In today's noisy marketplace, people are immune to marketing gimmicks, but they'll always respond to someone they know, like, and trust. Taking a product to your market is fundamentally different from taking it to the broader market. Your market is eager to see what you're doing next, while the broader market couldn't care less. Oversubscribed businesses never launch products to just anyone. They only sell to those who have expressed genuine interest. In 2014, Samsung rushed to beat Apple in launching a smartwatch, shipping 800,000 units before customers were ready, resulting in high returns and discounts. In contrast, Apple took a deliberate approach with their watch. After announcing it in September, they slowed down the launch campaign, gradually building interest through online information, videos with fashion icons, luxury magazine ads, and a partnership with Hermès. They didn't allow immediate purchases. Customers had to pre-register, book appointments to try the watch, and wait months before it was widely available. This patient approach led to 4 million sales in 2015 and 40 million within 5 years, with no discounting or unsold inventory. The key to becoming oversubscribed is creating an imbalance where there are more buyers than sellers in your market. There are four main drivers that create this imbalance. 1. Innovation creates market imbalance by offering something new that people want but can't get elsewhere. This doesn't require an epic blockbuster product. Innovations can be subtle, like new packaging or bringing something from a different market. 2. Relationship-driven businesses create market imbalance as people stop shopping around once they trust you. Most people don't actively consider alternatives to their accountant because the relationship is established. You can become oversubscribed by either becoming an influencer yourself or aligning with existing influencers. 3. Convenience-driven businesses reduce friction, the time, energy, effort, and know-how required to buy something. Amazon nearly destroyed traditional bookstores by making book buying easier, while Netflix eliminated video rental stores by simplifying movie access. 4. Price-driven businesses reduce production costs to offer lower prices while maintaining profitability. Walmart built one of the world's most successful businesses by keeping prices low. Stack it high, sell it cheap, was Sam Walton's strategy for staying oversubscribed. Successful businesses typically focus on dominating one of these positions. Importantly, each position makes it difficult to compete with the others. You can't be highly innovative and also convenient, nor can you be super cheap while competing on relationships. People don't necessarily buy for logical or emotional reasons. They may feel positive about a product and know it would solve their problem, yet still not act. People buy when the conditions are right and their behavior is stimulated by the buying environment. As an Australian living in London, Priestley demonstrated this principle with a workshop in Australia. Rather than immediately selling tickets, he created demand by asking people to register interest in a Facebook group for a limited capacity event. Within 48 hours, 175 people expressed interest for just 130 spots. When he announced tickets would be released at a specific time, all sold out in one day, generating $100,000 before he'd even booked his flight. This demonstrated two principles: transparency of demand-supply tension, people could see others wanted the same limited spots, and that businesses can create their own conditions rather than letting buyers dictate terms. At Paris's Galeries Lafayette, customers queue to enter the exclusive Chanel section, while nearby street vendors desperately hawk similar bags at a fraction of the price. Despite the enormous price difference, people line up for the expensive option and avoid the cheap one. People don't buy what others desperately want to sell, they buy what others want to buy. When companies show desperation, marking prices down, answering calls at all hours, accepting late payments, they turn buyers off. The skill lies in making something available without destroying demand-supply tension. People often judge products by who else is buying them. At Nikki Beach Nightclub in Majorca, when someone orders champagne, staff create a spectacle with sparklers and music, making customers feel special while enticing others to order the same. Most businesses focus on chasing new customers rather than celebrating existing ones. Oversubscribed businesses treat clients as aspirational individuals, making them stars of the show. Organizations driving social change must make their cause desirable, not just necessary. Charity Water exemplifies this approach. Founded by ex-nightclub promoter Scott Harrison, who leveraged branding expertise and celebrity endorsements to create a cool campaign where people donate their birthdays for clean water in Africa. This simple idea, combined with exceptional brand experience, now raises over $60 million annually. The key to success, whether in business or social movements, is tapping into what people want rather than what they need. Commodities always compete on price because they're banal, common, and interchangeable. Oversubscribed businesses offer something unique or contrarian that makes comparison difficult. Standing out means straying from conventional marketplace norms and having the courage to play by your own rules. Australian celebrity chef Pete Evans exemplifies the power of philosophy. His strong beliefs about healthy, unprocessed food polarize audiences but create loyal fans. Rather than trying to please everyone, he focuses on those who share his beliefs. Your philosophy comprises your strongly held beliefs and opinions about your field. When you share it openly, you transform from a commodity vendor into a movement leader. Twitter's infamous fail whale era message in 2009 signaled the platform was in such high demand it couldn't handle everyone who wanted to use it, making it seem oversubscribed. There's power in honestly admitting when you're unable to cope with demand rather than pretending to be superhuman. Like Manhattan's Studio 54 in the 1970s, which famously turned away people for wearing the wrong shoes, oversubscribed businesses must treat themselves as exclusive clubs. Saying no signals confidence in your identity and target market. Only the best restaurants refuse reservations. Only the best consultants decline potential clients. Only the best hotels reject bookings. The iPhone launch exemplifies the power of making people wait. Despite launching during a recession at premium prices, it sold out instantly. Steve Jobs understood that waiting builds hunger. He made people wait for information, release dates, and even outside physical stores. Jason Greystone built a successful trading business by being brutally honest in an industry full of exaggerations. While other trading gurus promised easy money and consistent returns, Jason told the truth. Trading is hard, requires an analytical mind, needs substantial capital, and involves periods of losses. This contrarian approach attracted hundreds of thousands of followers and built his Tier 1 trading business with virtually no marketing spend. Being contrarian is powerful. If everyone in your industry charges hourly, create fixed pricing. If they sell components, sell bundles. If they require year-long contracts, offer month-to-month billing. Challenge industry norms and set your own rules to stand out. Business isn't simple. Value comes from creating sophisticated ecosystems where everything works together. Oprah Winfrey's success doesn't come from any single revenue stream, but from an interconnected ecosystem of TV shows, magazines, books, investments, and charitable work. While some business owners complain about unpaid work or giving away value, successful entrepreneurs understand that building a high-performing ecosystem requires complexity. You can't expect rewards just for doing a good job. You'll be rewarded for creating an ecosystem that delivers value in multiple ways. The information age has transformed how value is created. In the 1980s and 90s, information was scarce and expensive. People paid hundreds for cassette tapes with business advice. Post-2010, with Google, YouTube, and other platforms, information became abundant and free. Today's anxiety isn't about lacking information, but having too much with too little time to implement it. The new model requires giving away information freely while charging for implementation. Businesses should offer a spectrum of value: free information and ideas, component sales, supervision services, done-with-you collaboration, and highest value, done-for-you solutions that require minimal client effort. The less energy required from clients, the more valuable the offering. Matthew Michalecis faced terrible timing when trying to raise $3 million after the dot-com crash of 2001. Instead of directly asking for money, he created an easy first step, asking investors for expressions of interest with no obligation. After collecting $4 million in soft commitments, he called investors to inform them he was oversubscribed, which prompted them to quickly commit the full $3 million. This approach works because people hate making big commitments. Breaking large sales into smaller, low-risk steps moves people forward naturally. BlackBerry made a fatal error trying to compete with Apple on coolness, rather than sticking to their winning formula of secure, business-friendly devices. Companies that succeed innovate around their core strengths without changing what already works. Porsche hasn't dramatically altered their 911 design since 1963. Lego maintains their classic brick system while expanding into movies and partnerships, and Roger Federer stays with tennis and sportsmanship while innovating in sponsorships and brand deals. Undisciplined innovation from boredom is dangerous. When you feel restless, focus on enhancing the ecosystem that supports your winning formula, not changing the formula itself. Successful businesses understand they're in the transformation business, moving people from their current state to something better. This requires meeting people where they are and communicating in language that resonates with them. Presidential campaigns showcase marketing evolution. FDR mastered radio with fireside chats. JFK won through television presence against Nixon's uncomfortable appearance. Obama dominated social media in 2008, and Trump revolutionized data-driven marketing in 2016. Trump's campaign used extensive voter data to deliver hyper-targeted messages based on individual preferences, gun rights messages for gun enthusiasts, and voter suppression ads for Bernie Sanders supporters. We've entered an era where neighbors receive completely different information based on their personal data profiles. A yoga-practicing single mother sees different content than her elderly neighbor concerned with health care and travel. AI amplifies this by analyzing everything from smartwatch movements to micro-expressions, enabling uncannily accurate product suggestions and perfectly timed messages. Small businesses must quickly adapt to data-driven marketing or risk being outmaneuvered by larger brands. Modern marketers test hundreds of ad variations rather than simple A/B tests, using algorithms to determine which combinations work best for specific audiences. The more data you collect, the less you need to spend on marketing, eliminating the waste of broad blanket advertising that reaches mostly uninterested audiences. Data collection may sound clinical, but it's the key to creating deep brand affection. My company runs Facebook ads targeting entrepreneurs and executives with our influence scorecard, 40 questions that provide respondents with a personalized 20-page report. Behind the scenes, we categorize people based on their responses, identifying whether they're startups or established businesses, satisfied or frustrated with growth, and even their satisfaction with work-life balance. This data allows us to customize our communication, making our scorecard our primary marketing tool. Each person has an unconscious hierarchy of values that drives their interests and behaviors. Like the husband and wife in a bookstore gravitating to cookbooks versus fitness guides, we each have 4 or 5 dominant values that command our attention and rarely change. When something ranks high in your values, you'll learn about it, find time for it, and spend money on it effortlessly. Rather than trying to change someone's values, successful marketing links your offering to what they already value. Think of dominant values as massive trucks barreling down highways. You can't stop or divert them, but you can load your offering into the trailer. If someone values family above all, don't sell fitness directly. Explain how fitness provides more energy for their children. In an age of constant connectivity, when people can communicate with anyone on the planet for free, businesses that generate positive word of mouth can reduce their marketing budget to zero and grow at the speed of sound. Traditional marketing is becoming less effective as consumers increasingly rely on smartphones, social networks, and online reviews for purchase decisions. The problem with traditional advertising is that it might inadvertently market your competition. Someone sees your ad for a digital camera, gets interested, but then researches online, reads reviews, asks friends on social media, and ultimately buys from someone else. Being remarkable isn't about gimmicks, but about genuine excellence in your niche, offering real advantages and superior experiences. Oversubscribed businesses invest in existing customers before prospective ones, which seems counterintuitive, but works because satisfied customers become your marketers. Google's success wasn't just about its superior algorithm, but its counterintuitive business decision to launch with a completely unmonetized landing page. When competitors like AltaVista, Yahoo, and Lycos were cramming their pages with ads and features, Google arrived naked with just a logo and search bar. This radical simplicity allowed pages to load in seconds, remarkable in the late 90s when pages typically took 10-30 seconds to load. Word spread rapidly about Google's fast, effortless experience, causing millions to make it their default search engine. Personal brands wield extraordinary power in business. Richard Branson demonstrates this perfectly, resolving corporate conflicts instantly by showing up dressed as an Indian chief to bury the hatchet when his executives failed through conventional means. His personal brand attracts opportunities, launches products, and raises capital effortlessly. On social media, Branson has millions of followers, while Virgin has just hundreds of thousands. People are roughly 20 times more inclined to connect with influential personalities than faceless corporations. In today's world, your online reputation determines your opportunities. When negative search results appear about someone, even an in-person meeting that feels genuine can't overcome the damage. Unlike pre-internet days when mistakes faded from memory, Google never forgets. Every negative review or damaging story remains just a search away, potentially costing you business years later. Assume every important meeting begins with a Google search of you and your business. Bad results mean fewer opportunities, good results attract more, and no results ensure you'll always compete on price. Your online reputation requires constant vigilance. Address negative reviews quickly, rectify problems promptly, and live as though everything you do will be documented online for generations. It's time to transform principles into practical strategy by adopting a fundamentally different business mindset. Rather than pursuing customers one at a time in an exhausting linear fashion, successful oversubscribed businesses operate as campaign-driven enterprises, organizing activities into powerful, well-timed waves that create buzz and excitement. This approach clusters activities into larger chunks, finding 100 potential clients, selecting the 20 best to work with, delivering an exceptional experience, then leveraging those learnings to attract 200 more prospects. The campaign methodology works across all industries and business types, but requires the focus and commitment of a professional athlete to execute properly. In every industry, there's a stark divide between businesses struggling for customers and those with more demand than they can handle. The difference lies in mindset, abandoning busyness for strategic campaigning. A campaign-driven enterprise transforms business into a series of critical moments and important events, like a car engine's hum comprising well-timed revolutions. The campaign-driven enterprise strategically divides the year into three distinct parts: weekly micro-campaigns that generate consistent revenue, quarterly spotlight campaigns that create buzz by collaborating with bigger brands, and annual big message campaigns that position you as an industry thought leader. The ideal balance is generating 70% of revenue from weekly activities and 30% from quarterly events, while using big picture content to stay relevant throughout the year. Whether running weekly or quarterly campaigns, all successful oversubscribed campaigns follow six essential phases: planning, knowing your capacity and target audience; build up, sharing insights and collecting buying signals; oversubscribed release, highlighting demand-supply tension; sales follow-through, maximizing campaign effectiveness through proactive follow-up; remarkable delivery, exceeding expectations; and celebrate and innovate, sharing stories and refining the process. Every business has a finite capacity to deliver remarkable products or services. Pretending you can serve everyone leads to dropping standards and disappointing customers. Instead, be honest about your limitations, whether that's 21 clients annually, 10,400 software subscribers, or 283 restaurant bookings weekly. Understanding your true capacity is the foundation of becoming oversubscribed. The journey starts with understanding your perfect client, someone enjoyable to work with, who pays on time and refers others. High-value products solve problems linked to four drivers: saving/making money, saving time, bringing emotional benefits, or easing pain. Even luxury items like Rolex watches fulfill these needs, from communicating status to establishing credibility faster to serving as meaningful rewards. Your true capacity isn't about how many products you can ship, but how many customers you can genuinely leave feeling delighted and uplifted after doing business with you.